T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Fourth and final hour of the Monday edition of the Dana and Parks program. I'm not even going to talk about Kanye West. I can't do it.
Nope. Can't do it. One of my favorite stories of the day. Money can't buy taste, from the New York Post. A young couple who ordered an $18 bottle of wine at a popular Soho restaurant instead accidentally got served a $2,000 bottle of wine.
Oops.
Meant for a table of businessmen who did not even notice that they ended up drinking the cheap stuff.
This is delicious, Stuart.
Managers at Baltazar poured the pricey 1989 Chateau Mouton de Rothschild Bordeaux and the budget Pinot Noir.
I thought you took French at Washburn.
Cheapest wine. They poured them into identical decanters. Mm-hmm. It was not clear how long the mix-up took place before they realized it. The headline here to me was that any restaurant in New York sells an $18 bottle of wine. You can't find that here. The two wines got switched. Managers like accidentally delivered them to the wrong tables. Still, the Wall Streeter who had ordered the Bordeaux for himself and three friends tasted the cheap Pinot, swished it around, fancying himself a connoisseur.
I say, Windsor, this is a delicious glass.
Probably praised its purity.
It's very earthy.
It's very earthy with some undertones of I'm getting
amber
screwed.
And sweetness.
I do detect some chestnut grain, I swear.
Likewise, the lovebirds who ordered the $18 bottle didn't notice that they'd been served the highbrow wine, the most expensive bottle at the restaurant.
Yeah.
I mean, they can't charge the couple for the gaffe.
Ron, would you pour me another glass, please? Good Lord.
By the way, the blunder was not the first time this has happened. Last year, a customer at a steakhouse in Manchester was accidentally served a $5,800 bottle.
Who pays that kind of money for a bottle of wine?
After ordering a $340 bottle.
Who orders a $340 bottle?
Not me. The most expensive bottle of wine we've ever ordered was $150.
What?
After my hole-in-one. Mm-hmm.
$150?
We split it.
Could you taste the difference between that and like a...
If it's your first glass, yes. If it's your third, not so much.
Oh, okay.
Well, Scott, it was very earthy.
It tastes very red. It tastes like a red.
Hints of amber.
Well, I'd say it's been shelled for at least 20 years.
Like a summery breeze.
I feel like if it's a $2,000 bottle of wine or a $5,000 bottle, putting it in a decanter is probably not the best idea.
I have no idea what a decanter is.
You know what a decanter... It's that, you know, it's a decanter.
No, I don't know what a decanter is.
It's a glass decanter.
Yeah, you know.
It's glass. It's tube-shaped at the top, and then it widens at the
Why
bottom.
Why do you keep making this motion?
Because that's what it's shaped like.
If this was TV.
It's got a glass tube this way.
It looks pretty dirty.
And then at the bottom.
And how do you hold it?
It bowls out. You know what a decanter
is. At the bottom it bowls out?
Yes.
Okay.
You know, tube-shaped.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about.
No, I don't.
Just saying, for $2,000, I would not put the bottle in a decanter. You can let that sucker breathe at the table once you see the label.
The wine has to breathe?
For $5,000, you would have to perform CPR on me if I accidentally got caught with that bottle or bill.
Things I don't have to worry about anymore.
Update to a horrible story that we talked about on Friday. They talked about this on middays. A St. Louis man has been arrested and charged, accused of stealing that poor woman's cell phone while she lay dying on the sidewalk.
Yep.
A St. Louis man was charged with felony stealing today after police say he stole the cell phone from the 64-year-old jogger who had collapsed on a sidewalk and later died. He is 35-year-old Brian Davenport.
He's a winner, by the way, ladies. Lines at the left.
The woman collapsed around 1 p.m. while jogging, and police say surveillance footage, which we put on our social media sites Friday, showed Davenport getting out of an old red van. It was like a Dodge Caravan. Swiped the woman's phone, left her on the sidewalk. By the time paramedics got there, they tried to revive her. She was pronounced dead at the hospital.
That's too bad.
Missouri court records, by the way, show no previous criminal charges against Davenport. And I ask you, are some thefts, this is felony theft, mm-hmm. you know, let's say it was an iPhone worth $1,200, that's felony theft.
Not anything over $500.
Are some thefts so egregious that you can be sentenced more harshly for them? And let me say it this way, Scott. You've got your cell phone sitting in front of you on the table right there.
Yep.
If you walk out of the room and I steal that phone, mm-hmm. that is felony theft.
Correct.
But there are degrees of felony theft, and stealing the same cell phone on Friday from a woman who collapsed and lay dying is in another stratosphere of felony theft, or is it?
Oh, man.
God, I would hope it is, because you know what, Scott? I'm worried they're going to go,
let me ask it another way. He stole a cell phone.
Yes.
Okay. Now, but what you're factoring in are the circumstances under which he stole the cell phone.
Correct.
Okay. But I thought justice was to be blind, and
not when you steal it from a dying woman on the sidewalk.
I understand. But what if, let's take the dying woman out of it for just a moment for the sake of discussion.
Okay. Okay?
You steal a cell phone valued at $1,000. Clearly it's a felony. It's over $500.
Sure.
You steal a $75,000 Maserati out of somebody's driveway because they left it warming up before they left for work. Now, who would leave a Maserati out in the driveway on a cold winter day? They're a moron to begin with, and they probably should have a five-car garage anyway. But that notwithstanding, you steal a $75,000 Maserati or whatever those things cost these days. I have no idea. Is that different than stealing a $1,000 cell phone?
Yes, but your analogy doesn't ring true to me because there is an actual monetary value that you're putting on both, and those are vastly different. I'm asking you, in a felony theft case, cell phone to cell phone, can he be put away longer because the facts of this case are so horrifying? Or is felony theft, when it's a cell phone, felony theft?
Well,
and it doesn't matter if I steal it from you here,
yeah.
or if you steal it from someone's car,
yeah.
or if he steals it from a woman who's having a heart attack and dying.
My heart says, yes, they should be different. My head says, under the law, they should not. As awful as what he did was, and I hope he burns in hell, even though I don't believe in hell.
I mean, are there sentencing guidelines on this where a judge could say, you are so awful, and what you did was so awful, we're putting you away for 2 years on the felony theft of a cell phone with no priors? And my guess is they're not allowed to do that.
Probably so. I would agree with that.
Which means slap on the wrist.
Mm-hmm. You are allowed to be a jerk in America.
But you are not allowed to deprive someone of their right to breathe on a sidewalk.
I understand.
And if he deprived her, and we don't know.
That would be very hard to prove.
I disagree. I think the surveillance photo will prove it, the video. They're going to show when she collapsed versus when he stole it.
Well, according to the surveillance video, she collapses and then he approaches. She stands up. She's trying to make a call, presumably to 911.
Yeah.
Could be her kid, but I doubt it. probably not to 911. That would be everybody's first call. And collapses, and then he walks up and takes the cell phone.
But I would argue, as her family, Scott, that he possibly interrupted that lifeline to 911. And we don't know, and that's going to be hard to prove.
And a defense lawyer would tell you, prove that she didn't die the second she fell down. She fell down.
Prove that she did.
Well, you have to prove me guilty.
Have you seen his mugshot, Scott?
Yeah, he's guilty. Allegedly.
That's not how that works.
576-7798, 576-7798. Coming up after 5:30, what Overland Park has decided to do with that $350,000 that they've set aside for cameras out of the Overland Park soccer complex. That's coming up after 5:30 here on Dana and Parks.
Because I feel I was drowning in a sea spilled from a cup.
Made an arrest in St. Louis. He's a catch. 35-year-old Brian Davenport charged with felony stealing today. Police claim that he's the man who stole a cell phone from a 64-year-old jogger who collapsed on a sidewalk near the Anheuser-Busch plant and died a couple of weeks ago. The woman, who's not yet been named by police, but other sources have named her, died around 1 o'clock in the afternoon on October 18th while she was jogging. 576-7798. James in Kansas City. James, hello.
Hey, how are you guys? Thanks for taking my call.
We're doing well. Thank you, man.
Hey, I just wanted to clear some things up. I know this happened in St. Louis, which is Missouri, but in Kansas, felony theft actually starts at $1,500.
Oh, in Kansas, it starts at $1,500?
Yeah, unless it's okay. Something like a firearm. Any firearm theft is a felony regardless of value. But the property theft starts at $1,500. But what they could do, if it were a Kansas case, is charge this as a robbery, which would be the forceful taking of property from a person.
But so is it forceful, James, if she was in the midst of being incapacitated, if that makes sense?
And that would be something that hopefully an attorney would be willing to argue, because I think it could also be argued it may have contributed to her death if she couldn't call for help.
Right.
But from a charging standpoint, I think you have to try it. Or like if you took it from a car in Kansas, that would be burglary, which is automatically a felony. If you unlawfully enter a car or a house or any kind of structure and take property regardless of the property's value, that also becomes a felony. So I think, hopefully that phone is $1,501.
Right.
In Missouri as
in Missouri it's only $500.
Well, and then chances are probably I don't know any cell phone minus a jitterbug that's less than $500 anymore. So hopefully they can charge that as a felony and get him sent away to prison.
Yeah.
But this I just want to clear that up for Kansas is a little bit higher and makes it a little bit tougher here.
This one just feels so much worse than, I guess, what I would call a run-of-the-mill phone theft. It just is.
Because of the extenuating circumstances. And, I mean, I guess a judge might be able to take some of that into consideration. But you've been in courts long enough, Dana. Judges are bound by these minimum and maximums that they can give. It's not like the judge can go, all right, you're a jerk and a loser, and you stole it off a dead woman's body, 50 years.
Right.
I mean, that would be thrown out on appeal in a day.
Yeah.
Being a jerk is not a crime. I mean, look at the kids in Florida who filmed a man with disabilities as he drowned in a pond.
And mocked him.
Yes. And no charges were ever brought. Because you're allowed to be a horrible human being in America. Have you seen the political commercials? Becky in Liberty. Hello, Becky.
Hey, hi guys. How are you?
We're doing well. Good. Thank you very much.
Great. I want to tell you guys, I just love listening to your show. I commute all the way from Topeka to Liberty, and you make my day exponentially better.
Oh, bless your heart. And that is a haul. Wow.
And I was almost just called in just to talk in my Muffy and Thurston voices today, because I was cracking up. Oh, my God. This cell phone thing, and I'm not an attorney, I'm in finance. But isn't there something called, depraved indifference, where if you, and I know you're talking about the Florida thing.
Yeah.
can you just let someone die and not do anything about it and not be charged with something like maybe manslaughter?
So we talked about this a little bit on Friday, Becca. We've all heard about Good Samaritan laws. A handful of states actually have something called Bad Samaritan laws, which is exactly what you think it would be. But it is impossible to take those to court and prove it. It very, very, very rarely ends with someone getting in trouble.
It's disgusting. People are just despicable human beings, and you see it all the time, all over the place.
What you could say, Becca, is I didn't want to get involved when I saw someone drowning because I can't swim. So how would you charge me? I can't swim. I'm not going to give my life for a stranger's life.
Did they call for help?
No, they did not.
Like this guy, not only did he not call for help, but he jacked the woman's cell phone.
Yep.
So I don't know. Like, but yeah, you're right. Nothing. You have to charge. You're getting on a slippery slope if you say, well, we're going to charge this guy because he just stole it from a party or stole it off of a street, and we're going to charge this guy with something different because
you know,
slippery slope.
Yep.
So yeah.
Becca, do appreciate the time, and have a safe travel, okay?
Yeah, have a great day.
All right, be well. When we get back, the city of Overland Park doing a U-turn on a very controversial plan to install lights out of the Shields Soccer Complex at 135th and Schweitzer. Will it go forward after all? The answer when we come back on Dana and Parks. Drummed up quite the controversy on the show the other night. I believe it was last Thursday night that this story broke on the Star. Because I remember we had one of the city councilmen, Scott Hamblin, called in, who was opposed. He was one of two of the 12 opposed. After drawing national criticism, Overland Park will no longer use $350,000 of federal COVID relief money to install video cameras at the Shields Soccer Complex at 135th and Schweitzer. Sean Riley, city spokesman, said that officials decided to pull the funding due to a timing issue. Okay, Sean, I've known you for almost three decades, but come on, man.
This was the money that was supposed to be COVID relief money, right?
That fish don't swim. last week, the Overland Park City Council voted 10-2 to purchase the video equipment with federal money provided through the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act, or CARES.
Mm-hmm.
The city also agreed to grant Musco Sports Lighting the license to stream the games on its platform, and the city would receive 70% of all the revenue made from people paying to watch or download the videos. Now, this has become the new thing lately. My mom does this all the time because she's not going to go sit in a stadium in Wichita to watch her grandson kick a football.
Right.
So she just pays the $10 and watches the video from her home in Shawnee. City officials argued that streaming games would allow families to watch their children play without having to sit in crowds during the pandemic. But the idea quickly sparked outrage among Kansas City area residents and then throughout the country. Councilman Ferris Ferrisati, one of two who voted against the proposal, argued that it was an inappropriate use of CARES funding.
Well,
as residents lose their jobs or struggle to afford rent, he called the project a money grab. Johnson County officials review proposals for how to spend the federal relief money to determine if they meet eligibility requirements. On Monday, city officials from Overland Park said in a news release that, quote, it would not be possible to pursue federal CARES funds for the soccer complex due to an anticipated shortened time frame to implement the project. All projects had to be completed by December 30th of this year.
Okay, no, wait. I understand how they were trying to get around this by saying with that money, it's sort of COVID related because people would be staying home. And so that's helpful during a pandemic?
Mm-hmm.
Sort of. But that's a pretty big stretch to call that pandemic related.
And my argument, and I know you were off last Thursday, this discussion was had with Dan Weinbaum, but I'll share with you just two thoughts. One is not an original thought. It came in from a texter. I'll share that one first. What happens when this pandemic is over? Are that many people really going to say, you know what, I'm going to shell out $10
I'm going to watch that online.
Watch Little Susie play because I just don't feel like being a parent tonight.
No, if you're not going to go watch Little Susie play, you're probably not also going to watch her play on
Okay, honey,
camera.
I'll be back in 2 hours. Where are you going, Mom? I'm going to watch this at home.
Yeah, I don't buy it.
With my $2,000 bottle of wine that I just got.
Right.
Here's the other thought that I had and shared last Thursday. If this is so profitable that the city would even get 70% of the money, okay, and this Musco lighting company or whatever would be willing to do it for just 30% of the money made, there's obviously money in it, at least right now.
Correct.
Why not just do this? Instead of wasting $350,000 of your and my tax money, why not say, hey, Musco, you guys want to put in some cameras out there? Have at it. You keep 70% of the money and give us 30. We'll let you erect your little cameras all over our little soccer complex. It's actually very large. And you put up the cameras, you stream it on your video service, and you keep 70% of the money.
The problem is, and you know this, you have to take the COVID money out of it. You just do, Scott. There's no way with a straight face you can say that money's supposed to go to COVID relief is best used on a multi-bajillion dollar soccer complex.
No.
In the heart of Southern Overland Park. It just doesn't pass the smell test.
I mean, I was there last night. Place was packed.
It's gorgeous.
Place was packed. Most, if not almost everyone I saw was wearing a mask. But listen, and I'm being serious. There was a huge public uproar last week when this story came to light. And look who won. You did. There is still power in the people. You still, and I know in these days and age, or in this day and age, it's very simple to say, you know, they don't listen to us. We don't have any power. It's just politicians running the show. No. The politicians did run the show until word about what they did got out.
Well, bingo. Public pressure works.
Yes. And this is Exhibit A. You guys won. And how anyone on that council, I'm not saying that cameras out at Shields are not a good idea, especially for people like my mom. She could have watched Maya's game last night. She wasn't going out in that weather. No way.
You're saying you have to remove it from the COVID pot of money.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Call it something else.
Optics are everything.
Correct.
And the optics around this story were horrible.
Correct.
You want to spend $350 out there and you think you're going to make a profit and it's going to, which by the way, government should never be in the business of making a profit, but whatever. But you think it's a good idea? Let a private company set it up with their own money. Let the private sector work its magic. Let Musco or Tusco or whatever
it's Musco.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Let Musco put those cameras up and let them keep most of the money, but the city gets a little bit. And I'm okay with that. I'm not saying that cameras out at Shields are a bad idea.
I don't you think they will find another way? They will find another way. You just got to remove it from the COVID money. Well, are dying.
You want to do it right now in the middle of a recession? You want to say, well, we're going to take $350,000 away from public works and the police department, and we're going to put cameras up so that the rich kids can be seen on the cameras by their grandma. It's not going to go well.
The optics are not good.
They're bad. They're awful. And what happens after COVID is gone?
You might have use them as security cameras.
Yes.
I guess. Up and down 135th Street just in case.
Thanks for the gift, Musco.
Yeah. I don't know.
Do they not already have security cameras at a multi-million dollar?
I'm sure they do. Let's go to Patrick in Kansas City, 576-7798. Patrick, what up?
Hi.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
So just on that note, so whenever COVID is over, but that's another discussion another day.
Hopefully sooner rather than later, but yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So what's the purpose after? I mean, that's what I'm missing. I'm missing something.
We can't figure that out either. For that kind of money, it would have to be something that has staying power and power to bring in income and something that makes sense and works. And once the pandemic goes away, I don't know why you would log on and watch a kid's soccer game virtually. I don't have an answer for that.
Well, the only reason you probably would, Patrick, is if you were, and I'm not poking fun at anybody here, if you're a grandma or a grandpa, and for whatever reason you don't want to get out in the elements or drive all the way out
right.
to Overland Park, or maybe grandma lives in Iowa or Nebraska or Oklahoma, and they want to watch their granddaughter play. Now, here's the thing. I've watched these games.
Can you see anything from the bird's eye?
You would have to have a really good eye. I mean, your granddaughter would almost have to wear a pink armband right. for you to identify which player she is on the field. Because it's not like...
Right, and they all wear blue, and they're all the same yeah, size, and all of that.
It's not like you're watching a professional sporting event where there's, you know, 20 different camera angles coming at you. And
no.
it is one camera pointed at the field, and at least with the high school games, what they do is they pipe in the stadium announcer sound. So unless your kid just made a tackle or grandkid just made a tackle, you don't know that your grandkid just made that tackle.
Correct.
If your grandkid scored a goal, you would not know.
Unless they are incredibly, if they have an incredible specific look about them.
Yeah. Like blue hair or
something like that.
Then you would know. But I've watched a football game on these little, you know, pay-to-watch kind of camera things.
You can't see.
It's very hard. The only reason I knew it was my nephew kicking is because he's the kicker.
Here's the other deal. Do you really want weirdos logging in and watching your kid play soccer? I mean, how would they police who gets in and who doesn't get in?
You got $10?
Yeah, exactly.
That's how they do it. 576-7798. Hey, Patrick, thank you for the call, man. I hope you have a wonderful evening. Make sure you get out and vote, okay? 576-7798. Election coverage right here on KMBZ 1 week from tomorrow night.
Drums, please.
Not summertime in Kansas City. There's nothing wrong with playing a song like this. Kansas City Star reporting this afternoon that the city of Overland Park is doing an about-face. They will no longer use $350,000 of your tax money in federal COVID relief cash to install video cameras at the Shields soccer complex. Now, in fairness to Overland Park, they get an A for creativity for sure. As to why they were going to install the cameras, the city argued that the streaming of the games from Shields, which they would make money off of, by the way, would allow families to watch their children play without having to sit in crowds during the pandemic.
Sure.
Okay. Phil in Overland Park. Hello, Phil.
What's up, Scott?
What up?
So... a little inside information on some of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The county controlled oodles of money here, and they went out to the various municipalities, OP included, and said, hey, if you have projects that are in this category or that category or this category, go ahead and submit them to us, and we'll approve the ones that we think make the best use of the money that the federal government gave us. And the dollars in this particular bucket were dollars that had to be spent at the county level, but obviously lowered down to the city level on electronics and communication.
Okay.
So it wasn't as if they were taking money that was going to go for PPE or some other more direct health-related matter. Now, I think it was also creative, Scott, so I don't necessarily disagree with you. And I talked to one of my pals who's semi on the inside in the city government there, and I said, you know, this is Friday. The optics on that were really pretty poor.
Right.
And so, all things being equal. But I will point out as a collateral matter that the public, broadcasting of tournaments and whatnot is a big deal. Scott, you mentioned your is it your mom that
my mom watches my nephew's her grandson's games in Wichita? Yes,
right. And we have grandkids in Wichita that are playing high school sports as well, and we've seen one or two games in person, but most of what we've seen have been on their broadcast over YouTube for their particular school. There's not a dollar cost to it, which is kind of neat. And by the way, you can buy a little adapter to hook into your television, unless it's one of the old tube ones.
Right.
If you put it up on the TV, it's a heck of a lot easier to watch it, just saying. But even when they traveled for regionally, all over the Midwest for basketball and things like that, those tournaments, you can buy a pass to watch the tournament, and there is a niche industry out there that produces those and broadcasts them through what's effectively an internet connection / closed circuit.
Sure.
So there's no doubt that teams coming up here from Dallas and Oklahoma City and down from Omaha and Des Moines and Minneapolis
would have relatives who want to watch.
Absolutely. And, and those teams are in town playing at that awesome place over there.
Yep.
One of the best things the city ever did with them.
I was out there last night coaching. I don't disagree. I am not anti-soccer, first of all.
But to his point, Scott, remember when all of the federal money flooded in after 9/11 to, you know, so police departments could buy tanks and SWAT gear? Sometimes when you get this money, they specify what you have to do with it, okay? Where it would be great to use that money for sidewalks, but this money is not earmarked for sidewalks.
What it was with the 9/11 money, I think it was 9/11 money, to your point, Dana, was it was, you know, you get X number of dollars and you have to buy this.
Yeah.
And then when they got X number of dollars and then they went out and bought that, there were still a bunch of money left over. And they're like, well, what are we going to do with that?
What are we going to do now?
You know, I mean, it's like you give a kid $20, he ain't coming back with change.
Right.
Tim in Olathe, looks like you get the last word tonight, my friend. Sorry for the others that we couldn't get to. I beg your pardon. I really do.
Hi, Tim.
How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Well, the last guy pretty much took my what I was going to say, but my stepdaughter's in softball, and she played in Oklahoma in tournaments, and they had that, and we watched it for free, because some of them are free, but some people can't go out of town, you know, and watch their kids, or, you know, they got their parents are separate and they can't go, you know. So
Tim, and it's a great point. I wasn't even thinking about the out-of-staters, and absolutely they have tons of people come in from the surrounding states to play.
My brother brings his team up almost every weekend during the season.
I know.
I mean, the Shields soccer complex is fantastic, and I am not anti-cameras out there to let grandma and grandpa watch from, you know, wherever.
Right.
I think that's a great idea. I just think the private sector should take care of that and not your and my and everybody else's federal tax dollars.
Pandemic tax dollars.
Right.
Hmm.
Isn't there a food bank you can help out?
We ran out of time to talk about KU. We will bring that back tomorrow. How many people get to go see that game at Allen Fieldhouse?
How do you pick?
How do you choose who gets to go see those games?
We'll do that tomorrow afternoon. Hey, thank you for spending part of your Monday afternoon with us. It has been our honor and our privilege. On behalf of our producer today, the great Sam Stevie III, ladies and gentlemen, my good friend and co-host Dana Wright, I am Scott Parks, and God willing, we're back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Have a great night. Be safe, be well, and be good.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.